Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, and reading the Common English Bible there first. And let's see if we could. Well, it's nice weather out there, isn't it? I'm glad you're all enjoying the weather. Beautiful weather in Thunder Bay, guys. Amen. Nice to be alive. Good to be in the house of God. In that cold outside and rain. So, let us go to our Bible. So, Hebrews 4:16. I'm trying to get online here, too. Sometimes this doesn't come on. So, I guess it's on now. So, all right. Hebrews 4:16. And the Common English Bible says, finally, let's draw near to the throne of favor and with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace when we need help. The King James says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And we're talking about tonight, our title is Great Grace and More Grace. Grace and More Grace. And we're talking about amazing grace. Grace and More Grace. So our topic is Amazing Grace. So as an introduction, let's say this about this first. We can access grace and more grace for whatever we need and whatever the need may be. No matter what your need is, you can access God's help for whatever it is you need. And God's grace is His ability working in our behalf, His favor working today upon our lives. This amazing grace is available to every single one of His children. We can access grace anytime. Anytime for any need. Not just for, you know, you slipped and fell into the things of the world. We can access grace for whatever need you have. Every kind of need and every kind of trouble. We all need God's mercy, all God's grace. You know, it says here that we maintain mercy. But mercy is not just for the sinner. Mercy is for us. We miss the mark many times. We don't become perfect as we become Christians. We may fall as well. The Hebrews 4:16 says, finally, let's draw near to the throne of favor. You can say the throne of favor, grace, is God's favor. With confidence so that we may receive mercy. Anybody ever fall short and you need God's mercy, maybe you can't have whatever it is you need. Well, God is able to extend a little bit more than the usual. So you can find mercy and you can find grace when we need help. I want to read the Amplified version, the Hebrews 4:15. The Amplified says, for we do not have, verse 15, 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses. So that verse tells us right away why you need grace. We have weaknesses as human beings and temptations. All of us are tempted one way or another. But one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every respect as we are, without committing any sin. Verse 16, let us therefore with privilege approach the throne of grace, that is, the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence, without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find His amazing grace to help us in time of need. Appropriate blessing, coming just at the right moment. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank You for this time we have together to get around your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives and guides us every day. We thank you for his anointing, his empowerment to receive the word of God, to understand the word of God, and to act on the word of God. Thank you that as we obey your word, we will see amazing grace working on our behalf. We thank you that this word will settle into our spirits and will rise up big in us when we need it. In Jesus' name, in advance. What is grace? The grace of God is the special favor of God. It's God's favor. It's God's ability working in us, working in and through us. It's unearned, undeserved. It's from God. It's a gift from God. You didn't have to work for it. You didn't have to do anything for it. It's God's love working on your behalf. So, it says in the scripture that we just read that we can receive any kind of help. Let us therefore with privilege approach the throne of grace that we may, that is, the throne of gracious favor with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures. The latter part of that in the Amplified Version says this, and find his amazing grace to help in time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. Whatever blessing it is, you know, we need to have faith. And the more we understand God's word, the more we see God's word, the more we can appropriate the blessing of God. You cannot go beyond the level of faith that you have. It's the revelation knowledge of God's word that gives us access to the blessings of God. You cannot access the blessings of God without the knowledge of the word of God in you. You must know what the word of God. God's word gives you that ability to reach out by faith and take whatever you need. If you've been short on it, it's because you didn't know you can access the help you need. It says we can access any kind of appropriate help. Appropriate help is whatever it is you need. Whatever you need in this time. So this amazing grace, it says here in the Amplified Bible, is working for us. It's hardly believable from the natural standpoint of view because we have all kinds of problems. We think God's not interested in you, but he is interested in every aspect of your life. Maybe this world or whatever your message you received that God might not be interested in you. Maybe you just think it's a small matter. Maybe it's so insignificant that God doesn't really care about it. But he cares for everything about you. The Bible says God wrote every detail in his book about you, everything about your life. So appropriate help is whatever it is you need. What you're looking for? Is family need? Is it a financial need? Is it a physical need? Is it emotional, mental health? What is it? Is it finances and resources? Is it access into something? Do you want to do something amazing for God? Whatever you want. So it's timely. It's timely. It's the help that you need when you need it. Brother Keith Moore, you know, he used to tell us at school that whenever someone needs your help, they call you up and you say, well, you can't help at that time. And when you need help at that moment, at that day, but someone said, I can't come right now. I can come next week. But he says, people need you when they need you. I don't need you next week. I need you right now. And so people need you when they need you. And we need God when we need him. And so it tells us that this grace is appropriate. Appropriate and timely. We could access whatever help we need. And a lot of folks don't believe it because they don't have faith for it because they don't think that's possible. It seems like so unreal. But it's there if you can reach out by faith. If you can know it's in the Bible. If you know the Bible says you can have it, why not reach out and take it by faith? Let's notice here in Psalm 126, 1-3, the Amplified Bible here, the children of Israel, the Zion, you know, over in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, Zion, you know, the church or Israel or Zion is identified with the church, or the church is identified as Zion in the church. If you read Hebrews chapter 12, you see that we are called the Zion of today. It says here, when the Lord brought back the captivities to Zion or Jerusalem, we were like those who dream. In parenthesis, in the Amplified Bible, it says, It seemed so unreal. They were captivated. Maybe you were captivated by something in this world. You were addicted to drugs. You were addicted to whatever it is. When God came and set you free, it didn't seem like it was real. If you had cancer and you were dying and God came and helped you and you're free now from that disease, and now it doesn't seem that real. How unreal it is. It was too good to be true. This amazing grace was too good to be true. And I think about it. I pinch myself, and I sometimes think about it. What an amazing life I've had to this degree, because I felt I didn't deserve it. And of course, you know, God's grace is undeserved. I couldn't believe why God would give me such a wonderful wife. I couldn't believe why God would put me in the ministry. I wouldn't put me in the ministry. I wouldn't anoint me. But it's God's amazing grace working on our behalf. Because people reminded me I didn't deserve all this stuff. I didn't deserve the position and place that God put me. And rightly so, from the natural point of view, I didn't. But God saw fit that He could actually do that. And I know a lot of people in the natural from my hometown, or some people that I grew up with, or people that I hung around with, knew how crazy I was. They couldn't believe it. I remember meeting one student friend of mine that we went to college with, and my college was probably the worst times of my life. And I met this young lady, and she said, "Roma, is that really you? I can't believe you're a minister." Well, me, I can't either. Because God's done something. God's done something real. And so it says here, it seemed so unreal. Is that over there too? Yeah. "Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting." I remember, you know, we go to a camp meeting and we hear Mark Hankins always said, you know, his mom had a tremendous, wicked, nervous breakdown, and she lost a lot of health, and she just, her dad was sick, and the church was just going down the pitch, and they had no money, and she was really sick. And just everybody was sick. And she was just at the last of her, at the bottom. And God tremendously raised this woman up, and she got free from this nervous breakdown, and she was total wreck. And when the Holy Spirit would move in the service, and she'd just jump out of her chair and start dancing around and running around the room. And as a young man, she would bring some of his high school friends to church, and he would be hoping that mom wouldn't run this morning, because he was so embarrassed that mom would jump up and start running around the room. And he said, "Oh, not again." Mom would just go, "Woo, woohoo!" and start running around. And they would say, you know, "Who's that? Who's that?" He said, "I don't know." Because he said, you know, if you were mom, if you had mom's experience, you would run too. Yeah. Amen? You would run too, because what a tremendous thing that God had done in their life. And never when you see somebody in church do something, jump and do something, he said, don't ever criticize them, because you don't know where they've come from. You don't know what they've gone through. Can you lift that hand and say, hallelujah? Hallelujah. Amen? So, because you don't know what they went through. And I thank God, and when I got saved, I was so enthusiastic, I was so happy, I could not believe that I was saved. I got born again, tremendously born again. I was so happy. I was so happy. Every single day I was happy to be alive, happy to be born again. My heart was so full of the love of God, so excited about Jesus every day. I didn't care about anything else except that I was saved. I didn't care about school, I didn't care about, girlfriends, money. I didn't care about music, rock music. I just loved Jesus. I got radically saved, born again, and sometimes people maybe was kind of look at me sideways, but I know what kind of depression I was in. I was depressed all my life as a young boy. And when that depression moved, it was just wonderful to know that a depression left. I grew up in depression, and I know what it was, what it's like to be free. And so I got happy. So I was shouting lots of times. I was just jumped up and started screaming and running around the room, just like my brother over there. He's just having a great time. You go ahead and have a laugh. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say, ha, ha, ha. Say, we're happy. Say, we're shouters. Hallelujah. Come on, say hallelujah. Woo-hoo-hoo. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're happy. We're the happy bunch. Say, what are you going to church? Well, we're going to church the happy bunch. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. All right. That's good. We need some of those in here. Amen. Get the crowd going. Glory to God. Maybe you and I should take a little dance. Huh? Our tongue was joyful, and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then the Lord said among the nations, the Lord had done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Everybody say glad. It's better to be glad than sad. Amen. So the disciples, they were, you know, they got born again. They were in fire for God. Jesus sent them out, gave them an anointing, added on their ministry, and add the blessing of God upon their life. And Peter and John went out there in the third chapter and got a man healed who was sick for 40 years. And the man was so happy. He jumped up and started running around, just like, Mike, you see this man right here right now? But there, he got help. He got, yeah, I mean, if you're stuck for 40 years, one spot, you couldn't move and depended on people's, you know, compassion to live. Well, now he's jumping up and down, shouting, running into the temple. And so the people, the religious people of that day, were so mad because they, you know, there was healing people in the name of Jesus. So they threatened them, said, "Do not teach in the name of Jesus anymore." Threw Peter and all those guys in jail, and said, "We threaten you right now. Do not teach in Jesus' name." And they beat them up, put them in jail. They said, "You better stop this." And so they were threatened. And the Bible says they were let out. And they came out. And so the Bible says they went out and preached some more. And God was with them. And so, the Bible, they prayed and God moved in a special way. And they were released. And so here we pick up over here in Acts chapter 4, verse 32 and 33. And the multitudes of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which they possessed was his own. But they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them. You see here, they had grace, but they had great grace. In other words, there was an extra added to them. Amen. There was more grace. You can receive grace, but you can have more grace. Everybody say more grace. You know, we need to recognize that God can add on to what you got. You know, what you have right now, what you experience so much right now as a Christian, there's more to this. Amen. There's more to it. You haven't lived out all your experience yet. You got to stretch out a little bit and get to know what the Word of God says. You know, I grew up in a church. We never saw anybody laugh. I grew up in a church where you didn't see somebody fall. I didn't see anybody ever one time lift up their hand and said, "Praise the Lord." Never did I see that in my church for many, many years. For 24 years I was in the church. I didn't run around, didn't see anybody run around. Never heard one testimony of healing of all those years that I was in that church. I mean, they had nice things in that church. But I didn't see any of that stuff. We talked about what God used to do. Not what he's doing now, that he'd move. And you can't actually make noise in that church because you might wake God up because he's sleeping. You don't like to wake up. He's old, you know. So it says great grace was upon them all, verse 33. So it makes a great difference in your life when you have grace working for you. The grace of God makes all the difference in the world when you can access his grace, his power, his love, his mercy. God has favored us with all the blessings of heaven that we can access whatever we need. Over here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, I'm reading the Common English Bible. God the Father chose you before because of what he knew beforehand. He chose you through the Holy Spirit's work, making you holy. And because of the faithful obedience and sacrifice of Jesus, may God's grace and peace be multiplied to you. It is through the knowledge of God, the understanding of God's word, that you can access more grace. You can access more ability. As a young man, I was, you know, in the Lord, been taught for a number of years now that, you know, I can have more than one area of blessing. I can have more than one anointing. I can be anointed in several areas. God can use me in different functions for whatever needs there are. Whatever needs that, you know, God is looking for people who would be available to Him. Like as a young man, I was telling my wife, we were driving around the city and doing stuff. You know, I said, you know, when I was 24 years old and I had finished my university or my college training and I went to work in Kenora. And I was born again. And I had been in Alcoholics Anonymous for a number of years. And I had a tremendous encounter with Jesus. I got so born again, I become radical, that people in the program was kind of looking at me sideways because I got too religious. I got too radical for my group, so they told me the Salvation Army is down the road. And I got kind of, you know, I mean, of course, in my exuberance, you know, I could have done a better job with how I was acting because I didn't understand. I was just a young man of God. And so I could have handled myself a little bit more instead of being pushy. And so because people get, you know, we need to know how to handle ourselves with people, have more wisdom. And so when I moved there, I went to church almost every day. At Sunday morning, Sunday night, I'd be at the Pentecostal church. At Monday night, I'd be, another charismatic group meeting. And then Tuesday night, I'd be at the Lutheran charismatic meeting. Then Wednesday night, I'd be back at my church. Thursday night, I'd be at the Anglican church doing another meeting. Prayer meetings every day. Charismatic meetings, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying and all that, and having a great time. I wanted more of God. And God began to use me in different areas, helping other people get saved and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't realize that I could minister the Holy Ghost to someone. They can be filled as I minister to them. And I got to learn that, and you know, just by reading the Bible and seeing that this is possible. So, it says in 1 Peter 1:2, it says, may God's grace be and peace be multiplied to you. It is through understanding God, understanding the knowledge of God, that this is going to be multiplied to you. If you don't know that God can actually add on to something, how can you access something? You have to have knowledge. The knowledge of God or the knowledge of the Scriptures gives you that ability to access by faith whatever God makes available to you. The Amplified says, who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father and consecrated, sanctified, made holy by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and to be sprinkled with His blood. May grace, spiritual blessing, and peace be given to you in increasing abundance. That spiritual peace to be realized in and through Christ, freedom from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflicts. If you look at that word peace, there's so much to it, not just having a nice feeling. Peace is not just having a nice, relaxing feeling. Peace is having, you don't have to wait for the church to run out to your car to want to smoke a cigarette. Like, you have peace that you're released from that anymore. When you have that release, you don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to wait for Friday night to calm my nerves and to feel good. I've been released from that. I don't have this agitating feeling that I have to wait for that. As a young man, you don't have to have agitating passions from a sexual issue to try and help yourself, to relieve yourself. You can have God's grace and peace on your life. Unless you're taught that, unless people can receive that, they won't have that. You don't have to have anxiety attacks anymore. If you understand this, you're going to have tremendous release from all this stuff because God will give you the grace to go through stuff. I don't know if you understand this because there's sometimes people go through life, tremendous hardships, and you look at them and say, how did they ever go through that thing? How did that young woman lost her husband and look at her? Look how strong she looks. And look, she's going through different things. I realize, you know, that we have something called shock. When people die or somebody close to you dies, you go through shock. And that's God's innate ability in your physical, mechanical system, whatever you want to call it, physiology, that causes you to be strong and releases something in your body to be strong for a short time. Too much of it can have adverse effect on you, of course, if you suffer this for a long time. But God gives us this ability to stand strong. See, God, when we go through stuff, it's God's ability working in us to help us stand. In troubled times and tough times, God is able to make you stand. God can strengthen you by grace. He can strengthen you to go through every trial. You don't have to walk alone. You don't have to go through any trial alone ever again. You can access it by faith. The Bible says in Romans that we access this by faith. Receive it. And so we can see this, and that's why I'm talking about the grace of God, because we need to understand this, and I've been seeing it in my own life, how God lifts me up and carries me to do things. I don't have to do this alone. Over here in the sixth chapter, we see one man who accessed grace. The Bible said the world was so in great distress with wickedness that one man found grace in God's sight. His name was Noah, and his life was actually helped the world and humanity, and the rest of humanity was there to be saved. God would say, I'm going to start again and destroy these people. The Bible said God couldn't find decent folks around. His creation was so affected, he decided to reboot and destroy the whole nation, reboot again. Let's start again. In Genesis chapter 6 and 7, it says, it repented to the Lord that he made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Verse 7 says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Oh, somebody said, that's one word God never said. Oh, whoops. He said, I'll destroy man. Then he says, both man and beast. Do we have any beasts out here, though? With man and beast and creeping things and fowls of the air, and it repented me that I have made them. Things were so bad for humanity during Noah's time that God said he's going to destroy the whole world. We think it's bad today, but it was bad then. It was so great that God it bothered him that much, it says in here. You know, I mean, we read the Bible, we believe it's true. We don't understand everything. We get bits and pieces of things and understand things. Like, you don't have to understand everything. Take the Bible as what it says. And Noah, verse 6-8 says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God, this grace, you know, this world survived and man survived because of God's will, God's favor upon man. It's God's special treatment that he can give you because he's so good. God will help you with everything you need, everything you need to accomplish in your life. There's grace for everything. There's grace for your marriage. If your marriage is gone down in the rocks, God, there's grace for you. If your family is in disarray, there's grace for that. There's grace for your children. There's grace for your home. There's grace for protection. There's grace for strength. There's grace for energy every day. There's grace for resources, accessing resources for whatever you need. There's grace for finances, for work, for ministry, for whatever it is. You know, we can ask ourselves, you know, you should ask yourself right now, I can get that right now, tonight. I can access this by faith. So there's various kinds of grace. There's levels of grace that we need. Over here in Luke chapter 1:28, we see this, that the angel came unto her, or that is Mary. This is Luke 1:28, the King James says, angel came into her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. So we see here, highly favored. Not just favored, but highly favored. Mary was highly favored. And the Amplified says this, and he came to her and said, Hail, O favored one, endued with grace, The Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God are you before all other women. When she saw, verse 30 said, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Verse 30. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Favor with God. We can grow in this grace. We can grow in the grace we have right now. We have grace. We've all experienced this. By grace are you saved through faith. We've been saved by grace. And grace will continue. The grace of God will continue in our lives as we live for God. Grace doesn't stop just because you got born again and that's it. The grace of God will continue to flow in your life. You got saved for free. You didn't have to work for it. And there's a lot of other things that you can access for free just because you're favored of God, because God favors you. And I heard some preacher tell me one time, my wife and I said, you know, we have favor. Every time we go to the mall, we ask God for a good parking spot. And so he said, we get a good parking spot. Well, that's fine. That's good. But you can have more than parking spot. Amen? You can have more than that. When we can't grow in the grace of God, because the Bible teaches that truth. We have more, we can have grace and more grace. And this is just not luck. This is not luck. This is grace. You say, oh, that person is lucky. Look at him. No, it's grace. Grace is working in you, you know. And so the gospel says that Jesus grew in the grace of God. He became a man just like we are, became a human being just like you and I. He identified himself with humanity. He emptied himself and became a regular person. He humbled himself. He became, just a regular guy like you and me. And God exalted him to a high level, the Bible says, because he humbled himself. And God was able to lift him up. Let's go over here to Philippians 2 for that foundation, 6 and 9, the King James says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God had also had highly exalted him, and given him a name above every name. We see this is true in Luke chapter 2, verse 40. It says here, and the child grew, he's talking about Jesus, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This child was growing in the grace of God. And so we can increase in this favor. You know, when we get tired and we get weak and we say we can't do it anymore, we need to access the grace of God. God knows, you know, how you can expend yourself sometimes. Sometimes you're stupid and you work too hard. And I know what it's like to overextend yourself and then you feel like you're dying. You wish you could die, but you're scared to die. You know, you go through that hard time. I don't know, Ernie, does it happen when you have chicken, like too much, or you want to die? Or not enough? He said, Lord, I want to eat it till I die. Matthew 11, 28 and 29 says, come unto me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you more trouble. No, he doesn't say, I'll give you more burdens. No, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. The word yoke is you know, it actually is symbolic of his teaching, his word. You know, those who sat under the yoke of the teaching masters, they're sitting under the teachings of those Pharisees or those whoever they were sitting under. And so he says, you sit under my teaching. Notice this, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall rest for your soul. And I remember Brother Higgins said, you know, one of his visions, he said, you know, when Jesus had appeared to him in the vision, he appeared to him several times, And he said, you know, one of the things that I realized about Jesus is that you look in his eyes and just you could almost stand it because there's just so much love. The love of God. It looks into your eyes. What a tremendous thing. So things are easier with God, with this grace. It's easier to live this life with this grace. And, let's go here. We can grow in this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We have to grow in this grace, in the knowledge of Jesus, knowledge of the Word of God. The more we grow, the more Word we have access. Let me just say this. The more access, the more Word you have, the more blessings you'll be. The more Bible you have in you, the more Bible you have training in your mind, in your heart, the more you can access God. If you're void of God in His Word, in your heart, in your mind, it's hard to find, you know, how you're going to get help. You're going to have to depend on your own money, your own power, your own knowledge. And yet there's higher knowledge. God has it for us. So we can grow in this grace. So as we close here, how do we qualify for grace? Well, in James chapter 4, verse 6, he says, He giveth more grace. Everybody say, more grace. God resisted. Wherefore, he said, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God will resist proud. The proud wants to take credit for everything in their lives. The proud says, look at me. Look what I did. Look how smart I am. Look how pretty I am. Look how intelligent I am. Look how much training I got. Look at how much money I've made. Look at all this stuff I made over here. Look at all this I did. I built this place with my own hands. It's my vast experience. It's me that did it. I did it. God says when you come to a place in life, when I blessed you, when you settled into your homes and you have all the vegetations and everything is multiplied, He says, hey, don't forget about me. I was the one that brought you out of Egypt and settled you in this land. When you have goodly houses, the King James says, when you have nice things, lest you forget me and go back into the old way. I've seen that many, many times, you know. People get saved and they come and, oh, it's wonderful. And they got their first car and then have a nice little time. And all of a sudden they forget God. They stop coming to church. And they lose their place. We couldn't do without God. Somebody said, you know, if God wasn't helping you, you couldn't even go out there and find your own car. You wouldn't even know your way home if God didn't help you. Couldn't get up in the morning. I remember I listened to Keith Moore. He says, you know, one day the Lord removed that anointing to preach and he couldn't do anything. He got up and he didn't have anything. That ability to speak is coming from God. That ability to minister is God's power, God's word, God's working through you. And I think we're almost done here. The Bible says that this grace came from Jesus. I'm going to shorten this. John 1:14 says that grace and truth came from Jesus. The reason why you have what you have today is because of Jesus, because of the Lord. John 1:16 says, and all of His fullness we have received grace for grace. And I'm reading the Amplified Classical. It says, for out of His fullness, our abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we all supplied one grace after another, spiritual blessings upon spiritual blessings, and even favor upon favor, and the gift heaped upon God. The Bible says that God's favor can be added on and more and more and more grace coming. Don't ever give up yourself. Don't ever say, you know, this is it. God's blessed me. There's more to experience in God. Let's all stand up and we close the service here. Father, we want to thank you tonight for your goodness. We thank you for the favor of God upon our lives tonight. We thank you for those that are watching on live stream, wherever they are. We thank you for the grace of God in their lives. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Let's go ahead and lift our hands towards heaven and thank him for the grace of God. The Bible says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. Thank you. We love you. We want to say, Lord, we so appreciate the goodness and all the blessings that come because we're your child. And I pray that we would access more grace and more grace. Grace for every area, whatever we need. Thank you, both natural blessings, spiritual things that we need. Give us more enlightenment as we study your word. Open up our understanding so that we can see more and more of you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we just give you our lives tonight. Thank you that we can do what you've called us to do. It's not our ability. It's your ability working in us. And you'll give us the want to. You'll give us the want to serve and to do what you call us to do. Even when we don't want to, we thank you right now that your will be done in our lives and complete the task, whatever it is you have us to do. We give up our lives to you. We say, Father, this is your life. This is yours. And we give you our energy, our strength, and whatever we have, we present back to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. If you've been away from Jesus, or if you've never had Jesus Christ in your life, the Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you have never received Jesus, he said, Jesus, come in my life. I believe you're the Son of God. Come into my life. Save me. I cannot save myself. Wash me with your blood. I believe that you died. You're the Savior of the world. You died for everyone, all of the whole world. And you went to hell for me and was raised the third day. And now you're at the right hand of the Father. And I trust you as my Lord and Savior. I give you my life. Now I'm saved according to your word. Because I believe in my heart. I say with my mouth, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. If you've been away from God, all you have to say is, Lord, I'm coming back home. Forgive me. And the Lord will meet you wherever you are. God bless you, whoever you're watching. Let us know who you are. We want to help you. If you need prayer, you can call our prayer line. We can help you there too as well. God bless you. Good night, everyone. And may the grace of God be with you. Amen.